From the secrets we keep to the lies we tell ourselves, get ready to challenge the status quo and dare to ask the questions others are too afraid to ask. Welcome to the Francesca Luca Show. Join Francesca as she ignites a meaningful conversation about things that really matter. Buckle up and get real. Now, to give you something to talk about all week long, here's Francesca.
Hi, everyone. Yes, you better buckle up. You are tuned in to the Francesca Luca Show. My web address is talkwithfrancesca.com. And if you miss part of the show, you're going to definitely want to hop on over to my iTunes page or Spotify page and listen there. And I'd love it if you'd leave a review and hit the subscribe button. And if you know someone after listening to the show that you think would enjoy it, please share it. This portion of the show is sponsored by Stein Masonry Construction, providing high-quality construction and hardscaping services to commercial and residential clients. Their experienced team specializes in a variety of services for your outdoor living. They are dedicated to exceeding their clients' expectations with exceptional workmanship. I know because I have used them. So give them a call. All right, we're going to dive right in. This morning, I woke up, and I don't know why, but this word came to me, transcend. And I thought about the spelling of the word, transcend, right? And what does that mean? Everyone knows what the meaning of transcend is, right? Okay, well, this show, hopefully, if you are a pot smoker, might just hopefully make you transcend after listening to what we have to say. Marijuana may not be as safe as everyone thinks it is. It's perceived as a harmless plant that you can use to help relieve pain or just relax, but it is more harmful than you know. So in today's episode, I have a licensed physician, Dr. Raymond Wiggins. He has written the book, Weeding Out the Myths About Marijuana. And he's here to blow away the smoke shrouding the mysteries of marijuana. He's going to give us some uncomfortable truths that I think we might just need to hear. So big welcome to you. Very excited that you're on the show, Dr. Wiggins. Welcome to it.
Great to be here, Francesca.
So, probably going to get a little pushback here tonight, but that's okay. I would love it if you would start with, first of all, telling us a little bit about yourself and why you know more than obviously so many others.
Well, I am a licensed physician, and I've been in healthcare for about 30 years. But several years ago, marijuana became very personal to me. I had three close relatives who died young, and I have no doubt that they would be here today if not for marijuana. They were heavy marijuana smokers. And one died just a few years ago of a sudden heart attack after smoking heavily for about 30 years. At that point, I didn't understand the cardiac risk of marijuana. Mm-hmm. And then also, really the straw that broke the camel's back was a young man, a very close family member of mine, great young man, went to college, and he got in with a group of guys who were smoking marijuana. And he had never smoked it before, but he thought, hey, these guys are all doing okay. Nobody seems to be having any problems. So he started smoking it with them. Mm-hmm. And on his second time, he developed severe cannabis-induced psychosis. And he wound up in a psychiatric ward, and he was never able to return to school. And that's the personal side. And then there's the professional side. I see a pattern of anxiety in my patients who smoke marijuana, almost all of them. Who check the box on the questionnaire that says they use marijuana, they also check that box for anxiety as well.
Other way around, that they're smoking marijuana to reduce their anxiety?
They do smoke it to reduce their anxiety. However, studies show that it actually increases their anxiety somewhere between 25% to 200%, depending on the demographics and depending on the study that you look at. But there was a very large study that was released not too long ago, and it was the type of study that looked at many different studies. It looked at I believe it was over 20 studies that it looked at, and it showed that there's definitely a causal relationship between marijuana and anxiety.
Well, you know,
also on the professional. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Also on the professional side, it takes about three times more propofol to keep these patients properly sedated. I've done over 27,000 general anesthetics in my career at this point. And about 10 years ago, we started seeing the need for a lot more propofol, and we didn't know what it was until just a few years ago when we found that it's marijuana. And it also takes about 60% more pain medicine after surgery to keep these patients comfortable. And that's not just me saying that. That's mm-hmm. the American Society of Anesthesiology. So that's how I became interested. Mm-hmm. I saw the devastating effects in my patients, my family, my friends, and so I started investigating, and what I found really shocked me.
And what about being a gateway to other drugs? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll probably say this a lot of times during this interview, but it doesn't really matter what I think. What matters is what science says.
Yes.
And it's absolutely a gateway drug. There are just a plethora. There's so many studies out there that show that it's a gateway drug. Over 95% of what we consider heavier drug users started with marijuana. And again, that's not me saying that. That's a very famous study.
And what about, so, you know, there was a time, well, it's still now, but that, you know, we still think of alcohol as you know, it's for socializing and relaxing, and, you know, as long as it's in moderation, it's okay. And now studies are starting to come out that, in fact, alcohol, you know, even in really small amounts, is not great. And if you don't drink at all, don't start. And if you do, really limit it to maybe a couple of drinks a week, and that's about it. So that's really changed, where it used to be one alcoholic beverage per day for a woman, for it to be safe, and two for a man. And now they're saying, I'm sure you're aware of that, not so much anymore.
Yes.
So I'm curious whether or not it's sort of that, is marijuana starting to go into that category where people are becoming more aware that it's not as safe? I mean, actually, I have to even step back one more step, and that not only was alcohol safe, but it was actually good. And in particular, if you had high cholesterol, you should drink red wine. And that was actually a doctor that told me that back 30 years ago. You have high cholesterol, have a glass of wine every night. So, you know, that's how I started drinking wine. And but I don't like red, so I'm good with that. Anyway, so what I'm curious about is, do you think that there is, it's moving in that direction where people are becoming more aware that marijuana is as dangerous, or is it as dangerous, or is it less dangerous than alcohol, or can you even make that kind of a comparison?
Well, if you step back a little bit, there's two things that I need to answer here.
Yeah.
One is the fact that marijuana is not the same drug that it was in 1969. If you go back to Woodstock, marijuana was 1 to 2% THC. The potency was 1 to 2%. Fast forward to 1995, and it's 4 to 6%. Well, today it's 22 to 23%. And anything over 10% is considered high-potency marijuana. High-potency marijuana carries way more risk. The risk of addiction is four times, for instance, for anything over 10%. Well, when you get to 22 or 23%, it's even more than that. And so the way that we look at this drug today is not at all the way that we looked at it before. There's true physical addiction these days, where with the old marijuana, with 1 to 2% THC, it was really a psychological addiction, which is, you know, can carry some risk in and of itself.
Absolutely.
But today's high-potency marijuana carries true physical addiction much more than what the old did. In fact, the CDC says that 30% of people who smoke today's marijuana are addicted, and 46% of young people are addicted. So almost half of our young people who smoke marijuana are addicted today. So is it a more dangerous drug than alcohol? Yes, just there. If you look at alcohol, only about 10%. I say only 10% because those 10% that are addicted, it's a huge issue for them as well. And when you're looking at the medical effects, the mental health effects, et cetera, marijuana is a much bigger issue, especially with the high potency marijuana today.
You know, as I was driving to work and coming to a stoplight here, a stoplight there, of course, everyone's texting, and I knowing that we're going to be doing the show, and I thought, and probably 50% of these people texting are also stoned. So they're texting and they're stoned. I think I'm going to walk to work instead. You know, I mean, really, seriously, when you think about it. And you know what else I find interesting? That I do know a few people that, smoke marijuana regularly. And they don't just smoke once a day. They smoke like 3-4 times a day. So talk about being in a trance. To me, that's seems pretty deadly. So I think in the old days it was, it seemed like it was more a recreational drug, maybe similar to having a couple of cocktails, where what I'm hearing you say now is it's much stronger. And I guess my question to you then would be, why so much stronger today? How did that change?
Well, yeah, the marijuana industry, which Dr. Kevin Sabet, who was the former drug policy advisor to three administrations, he calls it big marijuana, just like big tobacco. It's big marijuana that's bankrolling the referendums, and they're bankrolling a lot of social media campaigns, et cetera. And they have everyone believing that it's no big deal, but it is a much bigger deal. And what they've done is they've genetically engineered it, and they try to make us think that it's a natural product. Well, how did it get from 1-2% up to 23%? And there's some that's 30 and even up close to 40% these days. And you can even get concentrates that are over 90%. So how did that happen? Did it happen naturally? No, it didn't happen naturally. It happened by genetic engineering. And so, it's a very different drug. It's not. We can't think of it the same way that we thought of marijuana back in the 60s and 70s.
Right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Francesca Lucas Show. I am speaking to Dr. Raymond Wiggins. He has written a book, Weeding Out the Myths About Marijuana. Oh, and Quinn is telling us that we need to take a break. So when we come back, I'd love to know why you think it's so widely perceived as harmless when clearly it's not. So marinate on that. And listeners, stay with us here. You're going to want to know more.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Lucas Show comes your way next. The time is now to finally install that new patio or fire pit that's been in your dreams. Your home is ready to be beautified with stonework, but when the time comes, you want and need the best. That's where Stein Masonry comes in. Stein Masonry provides the best in high-quality construction and hardscaping services. With an experienced and dedicated team, they'll tailor any project to your specifications. When you decide it's time to enhance your home, don't mess with less than the best. Trust the guys you know. Stein Masonry, family-owned and operated and local. Visit them online today for a free quote at steinmasonry.com.
Who doesn't go to the hair salon to liven up their looks? But sometimes you look worse on the way out than you did walking in. You can expect something different at Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing. With a super modern feel that can hardly be mistaken for suburban, they're a full-service hair salon offering cuts, color, highlighting, and formal design. With an impressive following and 5-star rating on Google, Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing won't disappoint. I know, because I can tell you from my own experience, I felt transformed, and you will too. So if you're looking to turn a few heads, call Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing today at 508-322-9468. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Conveniently located in the Wareham Crossing Shopping Plaza, call them today or book online at DelariaWareham.com. You'll be thrilled. I know you will.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and I am speaking with Dr. Raymond Wiggins. We are discussing the perils of marijuana. He's written a book, Weeding Out the Myths About Marijuana. Welcome back, Dr. Wiggins.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So before the break, I had asked you that, why do you think that it's so widely perceived as harmless?
Well, if you go back, or if you look at what really the basis of it, Dr. Sabet believes that it's the big marijuana industry. They're using the same playbook that Big Tobacco did back in the mid-20th century. They have a marketing scheme that they're engineering a more potent drug. They're making it more addictive in forms that are easier to consume. And then at the same time, they're spending literally billions of dollars to bankroll referendums to lobby elected officials, et cetera. And there's campaigns on social media. If you say something enough, and there are studies that show that if young people see marijuana on social media as being something that's positive, they're more than twice as likely to use. There's another study that shows that they're six times more likely to use if they believe that there's no adverse effects. And today, if you go back 30 years, 80% of young people in high school or younger believed that marijuana was addictive and had negative consequences. Today, it's just the opposite. Only 20% believe that.
Mm-hmm. What I'm wondering is that it's sort of the chicken or the egg, right? That's what I'm wondering about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, you say that people who smoke marijuana, they have more anxiety, yet everyone I know that smokes marijuana, they smoke it because they do have anxiety. I remember when I had surgery and the PT had come to my house, I was surprised that she told me that she smoked pot every night before she went to sleep. And then I was telling my sister that, and she said, yeah, my neighbor does that too. And so, I mean, people use it as a sleeping pill, but I'm not really sure. Is it the actual marijuana or is it the CBD? And what's the difference, or is there a difference? I feel really a little naive not knowing the difference. I think I should know the difference by now. But, I mean, I think CBD is medical marijuana, right?
No.
No.
Medical marijuana we're talking about THC still. There's two main active ingredients in the cannabis plant. One is THC, and it's the one that we think of in marijuana, and less so in hemp. Then there's CBD, and it's supposed to not be psychoactive, but it does cause people to be drowsy. The problem with both THC, which is marijuana again, and CBD, both of them will cause sleep disturbances. In other words, if you use them to sleep, you're not going to go into REM sleep appropriately. You're not going to have normal sleep cycles like you normally would. So you're actually making things worse and worse over time, and you become addicted to it pretty quickly. In other words, people that use it to sleep really can't fall asleep very easily without using it after less than 30 days, generally.
So
neither one of them are good for sleep cycles.
So would you say that
sorry,
more...
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking, would you say it's as addictive as, like, benzos then? You know, like the lorazepam family, the anti-anxiety medications that people sometimes take to relax themselves?
It would be very similar. Again, for marijuana, it's about 30%, and for young people, 30% for adults, and about 46% for young people that are addicted. For benzos, I don't know the exact numbers, but I know that number is fairly high. A lot of people get addicted to benzodiazepines.
So I'm looking at your book here, and I just flipped it open, and I opened up to mental health effects. And I see here that it creates mood disorders, such as depression and bipolar, which is interesting to me because I thought that, depression and bipolar disorder were actually biological. So people are born with that, like the bipolar or the manic depressive. That generalized anxiety disorder and the PTSD, I guess I keep going back to this is the chicken or the egg, because people who have PTSD, they say that it really makes a difference in how they feel. Psychosis, I don't know. I would think that's a genetic thing as well. Antisocial, borderline, schizo behaviors, all those diseases, mental health illnesses, those came way before marijuana.
Absolutely.
I know I'm pushing you back here, and it's not because I'm a proponent of it, because, full transparency, I'm not at all. When I was much younger, I played around with a very little bit, never, much, but I'm not for it, and I know a lot of people really swear by it, and good for them, I guess, or no, not good for them, I guess, but I did not, I guess I didn't realize it was quite as dangerous.
Yeah, there are people that are born with propensities for all of the mental health issues. Mm-hmm. Some people are more likely to have it. Some people are less likely to have it. The problem is that marijuana, if you look at what the American Psychiatric Association says, they don't recommend marijuana for any of those disorders that you just talked about or any other mental health disorder. They have a statement paper, a position paper, that says that it shouldn't be used for that. And so if you're talking about using marijuana to try to treat these, you're only going to make them worse. Yes, for instance, for anxiety, yes, you're going to feel more calm when you're on marijuana. But when you come down from it, you're going to have just the opposite effect. And then you're going to need it more and more to stay calm. There's a whole lot of issues here, and part of what marijuana does, and I won't go into the medical side of things too much, but part of what it does is it increases dopamine. It gives this big dopamine rush.
Uh-huh.
And when you come down from, and dopamine is the pleasure chemical. It's also a chemical that we get, our bodies really want it, and we almost become addicted or do become addicted to it. And so when you smoke marijuana, you get that big dopamine rush. And then when you come down from it, after you use it for a while, your body becomes less sensitive to dopamine, and it produces less dopamine because it thinks, hey, I have enough. I don't need it. So now you have a body that doesn't have as much dopamine. And so that leads to more anxiety. That leads to a lot of these mental health issues. And then you have to smoke it to get that dopamine hit that you were looking for.
Mm. Well, you know what? It just crossed my mind is all the people out there that are on antidepressants, and doesn't those drugs increase your dopamine or serotonin? I guess it is
serotonin.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So, but it makes you happier or less depressed, I guess, is a better choice of words. But now, what's the difference? Because when people go off those drugs, I would think that they have the same issue that, after a couple of days of being off it, they start becoming teary-eyed again and their dopamine level or serotonin level drops. And the only difference is that it's prescribed. So is there any difference between, say, an antidepressant and self-medicating with marijuana?
Yes, marijuana has a lot more issues. There's the addiction issues and all of the issues that marijuana can cause, the physical and mental health issues, happen whether you take it for medical reasons or for recreation. When you're talking about the other drugs, which... I personally think that they're overprescribed. Mm, however,
so do I.
They can be used appropriately, and when you're using those, you have a doctor that's following you, and they're helping you. And if you get off of them, you don't just go cold turkey. If you go cold turkey on those drugs, yes, you can have problems. There's increased risk of suicide, et cetera, mm-hmm. whenever you go cold turkey on those drugs. You need to come down from those drugs or come off of those drugs with the help of a physician. With marijuana, that's generally not the case. You don't mm-hmm. generally have that physician there with you helping you. It wouldn't help as much anyway because there's so many more side effects with marijuana than there is from those other drugs.
Mm-hmm. What about the positive effects that cannabis can provide for people, like lowering blood pressure, fighting cancer, preventing seizures, helping people who have cancer, and with the nausea, those kinds of things that we've all heard about? What are your mm-hmm. what would you have to say about that?
I'm not sure who says that it lowers blood pressure, because it increases blood pressure 20 to 100% within minutes after starting to use it. And that's one of the reasons that it has severe cardiac effects, which I didn't understand, which most doctors haven't really understood until more recently. Marijuana causes increased blood pressure, it causes increased heart rate, and all of this happens within just a few minutes, and it lasts for 2 to 3 hours. And you combine that with the increased carbon monoxide, increased inflammation in the bloodstream, and it causes significant cardiac issues. If you're talking about cancer, unfortunately, marijuana has been shown to decrease our immune response. We need a great immune system to help us fight cancer. It's not just the chemotherapy that we get that helps us. That chemotherapy needs a healthy body, and so our bodies are not going to be as healthy. We're not going to be able to fight cancer and other disease as readily whenever we're using marijuana. If you're talking about nausea, marijuana, there are chemicals from the cannabis plant that can be used to decrease nausea. However, it can also increase it, and there's way better drugs out there. If you look at the studies, there's way better drugs out there than any of the cannabis derived drugs. That being said, I believe and hope that over time that cannabis can be used for many of these things. Right now, the studies don't show that it really helps. And so if you look at any of the medical marijuana use, I think there are more arguments against it than there are for it at mm-hmm. this time with our present knowledge.
There are so many, there's such an uptick in dispensaries, through our towns, at least on the East Coast, and I'm curious what you think that is all about, although I have some ideas on it, and cha-ching, cha-ching. But anyway, we're going to take another short break, and when we come back, let's just talk about that. So listeners, stay with us here.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next. Train the way the Navy SEALs and pro athletes train with Ultimate Human Performance, a training program crafted by best-selling author and master physiokinesiologist Joe Hippensteel. Ultimate Human Performance teaches you the world's most advanced training methods to eliminate pain and injury. They've helped change the lives of over 10,000 clients across 56 countries and will change your life too. Do you suffer from chronic pain? Are you looking to regain the flexibility you had when you were young? The Joe Hippensteel method will give you back your youth, eliminate pain, and help build a better you. And the best part is, you can do it all from the comfort of your home with Ultimate Human Performance's online video courses. Learn everything from the fundamentals to advanced techniques to help relieve your pain for good. Looking for something in person? Book a one-on-one session or attend one of Ultimate Human Performance's 3-day seminar events. Reclaim your body with Joe Hippensteel's Ultimate Human Performance. Find out how to live pain-free today at ultimatehumanperformance.com.
Who doesn't go to the hair salon to liven up their looks? But sometimes you look worse on the way out than you did walking in. You can expect something different at Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing. With a super modern feel that can hardly be mistaken for suburban, they're a full-service hair salon offering cuts, color, highlighting, and formal design. With an impressive following and 5-star rating on Google, Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing won't disappoint. I know, because I can tell you from my own experience, I felt transformed and you will too. So if you're looking to turn a few heads, call Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing today at 508-322-9468. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Conveniently located in the Wareham Crossing Shopping Plaza, call them today or book online at DelariaWareham.com. You'll be thrilled. I know you will.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
The time is now to finally install that new patio or fire pit that's been in your dreams. Your home is ready to be beautified with stonework, but when the time comes, you want and need the best. That's where Stein Masonry comes in. Stein Masonry provides the best in high-quality construction and hardscaping services. With an experienced and dedicated team, they'll tailor any project to your specifications. When you decide it's time to enhance your home, don't mess with less than the best. Trust the guys you know. Stein Masonry. Family-owned and operated and local. Visit them online today for a free quote at steinmasonry.com. Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and we are talking about the perils of marijuana. Weeding out the myths about marijuana is the name of the book written by Dr. Raymond Wiggins, and we are discussing all things marijuana. Welcome back, Dr. Wiggins.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
So, prior to the break, I had asked you about the uptick in dispensaries, and you know, obviously, I think money has a lot to do with it. I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
Well, marijuana is, the illegal marijuana sales are somewhere between 60 to 100 billion per year. Obviously, we don't know exactly what it is.
All right.
But legal marijuana sales are about 33 billion a year. And so these places are can make a lot of money. Not all of them do. A lot of them actually go out of business because the illegal market is so much more lucrative because they're not paying taxes, et cetera, on it. But it really boils down to money.
I figured. Do you think marijuana should be illegal?
My personal thought is, and if you would have asked me this 3 years ago, I would have told you probably not. Because I really like a free market, you know. I like.
I thought you were going to say I really like an occasional joint.
No, I like.
I have to laugh about this. I hope I don't start getting nasty emails and texts and Facebook comments.
No, but now I really am in favor of keeping it illegal where it is, and I would love to go back to it being illegal everywhere in the U.S. There's just too many problems. And it not only causes problems with the user. People say, well, it's my body. I can do what I want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the problem is that, for instance, there were 9,400 fatal car accidents in 2022 related to cannabis. There's a lot more violence. If you look at the studies, that's another thing. I didn't understand that. There's a lot of violence that's associated with it. There's a lot of organized crime. And all of these things mean that our society is not as well off with cannabis being legal versus it being illegal.
If it were heavily regulated, would it change your view on that?
No. Again, a few years ago, I might have said otherwise. I probably would have said otherwise before I really started looking into this. But what I've learned over the past few years, I just don't see it as being good for anyone.
Yeah. Do you think that the stigma around marijuana faltered due to the increase in other illicit drugs?
Well, some, yes, but there's other drugs. For instance, opioids, fentanyl in particular, is a drug that is extremely dangerous. Unfortunately, it's marijuana today is being laced a lot of times with fentanyl. And so there was a young man, a very good friend of mine, his son just passed away about 6 weeks ago because he got some marijuana that was laced with fentanyl. And so it's really dangerous.
Wow. Well, okay. I guess if you're smoking pot, you might want to reconsider it. What effects does marijuana have on the brain? So I'm thinking about, well, obviously many things, but I'm thinking about memory loss, dementia, Alzheimer's. That's exactly where my head is going with this. Because I would think that it would be, you know, it's a downer, right? And then if you're doing it all the time, slowing everything down, I don't know what it does to the gray matter of the brain, but I'd be curious to know.
Yeah, both the gray and white matter, if you look at studies, they shrink significantly in people who have used it, especially long-term. There's a big study that shows that the mass of the brain, especially in particular areas, is about 12% less on average than non-smokers. But we all understand the immediate effects, the problems with memory and attention and learning and decision making and coordination, all the things that marijuana does to us if we're high. But what most people don't understand are the long term effects, which is what I think you're getting at here. If you look at risk, for instance, if you look at 18 to 49 year olds, there's a significant increased risk of strokes in 18 to 49 year olds.
Wow, that's pretty young.
Yep, acute ischemic stroke, which is the most common type of stroke, there's a 41% increase in that type of stroke in people 18 to 49 years old who use marijuana on a regular basis. It does lead to problems with memory over time, attention, problem-solving skills, behavior, and three big ones are decision making, reward seeking, and impulse control. It causes a huge problem in those areas of the brain. And there was a study that really a landmark study that followed people from birth to age 38, and it showed that quitting marijuana, cessation of marijuana, didn't fully restore brain function. And so what does that mean? Well, that means that marijuana causes permanent changes in our brains. Regular marijuana users have a drop in IQ on average, depending on the study that you look at. But the landmark, the biggest study, showed a drop of 8 points. And you think, well, 8 points is not that much. But if you're talking about the average person, that puts us below 71% of our peers. So it definitely causes a lot of issues with our brain.
Well, like smoking as well. You know, there was a time when if you quit smoking, your lungs would recover. But we find out now that actually, you know, people who did smoke, even those that have quit, have a greater chance of cancer. Is that accurate?
Well, that's accurate. With both marijuana and with tobacco, the thing is the quicker you quit and the younger you stop, the better you're going to do. If you use it long term, yes, there are actually absolutely going to be permanent changes in your brain chemistry and brain matter as well.
So let's talk about the effects that it has on other parts of your body, like your heart, how you had mentioned that it really changes things there. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Absolutely, yeah. This is the area, probably the two things that surprised me the most when I really started looking into this several years ago. Number one was the problems with the heart, and then a close second was the problems with mental health, particularly schizophrenia and suicide rates. But when we're talking about the heart, it just absolutely shocked me. The number of studies that are out there, they're everywhere. And like I told you before, it causes problems with the marijuana. When you smoke it, it causes increased blood pressure, heart rate, and so many other issues that are really devastating to the heart. Mm-hmm. There's a Stanford study that looks at people before the age of 50 and shows a dramatic increase in heart attacks, second heart attacks, heart failure, heart electrical problems or arrhythmias. There's a Harvard Health study that shows that there's a 5 times risk of a heart attack for an hour after smoking marijuana and 1.7 times for 2 hours. There's a recent Canadian study that shows a 63% increase in heart attacks for 30 days after using marijuana.
And what
there's
about
a Mayo Clinic.
Wow, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, there's a Mayo Clinic study that shows overall a 2.5 times risk. And I could go on and on with studies about the heart, but they're everywhere in the literature, and I don't know how people can ignore it.
I'm curious if secondhand smoke from marijuana affects people who don't smoke.
It absolutely can. There are studies that show that children of marijuana smokers have increased asthma, and it can increase problems with their brain development as well.
Okay. All right. We are going to take another short break, and then we're coming into our last segment. So much information to cover in such a short period of time. So listeners, stay with us here. We will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
Are you tired of looking tired? Experiencing hormone changes or weight gain? You are not alone. Skin Aesthetics and Buzzards Bay can help you on your journey to live well and be well. If you're looking for a comfortable experience to have your medical spa and wellness treatments and want to restore that youthful beauty to your skin, I've found just the place, Skin Aesthetics in Buzzards Bay. From dermafillers to biostimulators, neurotoxins, and PRP treatments, Angela Nelson is your go-to for medical skin treatments to give you that rejuvenated look and feel. With over 20 years' experience and glowing reviews from many satisfied clients, you can trust Angela Nelson to help you reach your wellness goals. Treat the signs of aging and gravity with all the tools to turn back the clock and get back your vitality. You don't want to wait. Plus, Skin Aesthetics offers other wellness services like body sculpting, contouring, and IV therapy. Embrace the fountain of youth. Begin your journey of self-care today. Visit skin-aesthetics-ma.com. You'll be glad you did.
Need a reliable place for your pet? Does your dog crave extra stimulation instead of social isolation? Sign up for doggy daycare at the Dog's Den in Pembroke. With 2 separate yards and plenty of supervision, your dog will have a ball and tug-of-war toys and plenty of new friends. The Dog's Den also specializes in grooming. Each groomer at the Dog's Den has decades of experience and will leave your furry friend refreshed and ready for their next adventure. Schedule your grooming or daycare today at thedogsdengrooming.com.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Oxfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and I'm speaking with Dr. Raymond Wiggins. We are talking about some uncomfortable truths that I think we need to hear on marijuana. So, Dr. Wiggins, I'm just curious, what do you think the future holds for other substances now that marijuana is so accepted?
Well, right now, the Biden administration is considering taking marijuana from being a Schedule I drug to being a Schedule III drug, which would mean that it would be legal everywhere. And unfortunately, it seems like a lot of other drugs are becoming more accepted. And what the problem is we really don't know the long-term effects of a lot of these drugs. Marijuana has been studied so much more in the past decade, especially, and even more so in the past few years. And we're learning the harmful effects that we didn't understand. And what's going to happen with these other drugs is, I think the same thing will happen. We'll learn the bad side effects of a lot of these drugs. But unfortunately, it'll be too late. Just like it has been for marijuana, it's really too late for so many people that have had their lives devastated or lost their lives. I think the same thing's going to happen. They're going to become more accepted, and people are going to try to push for them to become legalized everywhere.
Well, you know, if you just take a step back, quiet down a bit, and think of, like, you know, the people that live to be 100, you know, they live simple lives. They don't drink alcohol. They certainly don't smoke weed. They eat a healthy diet. They don't have a lot of processed foods. You know, I mean, there is a prescription for a long, happy, and healthy life. And I just don't really, I see that marijuana is a way to escape the natural suffering that, you know, is part of being human. But, you know, it's just interesting, too, because as I get older and hear about, you know, some people passing on, and I think to myself, geez, well, you know, they really did live a little bit of a reckless life, drank a lot, smoked cigarettes, marijuana. So there is something to be said. Certainly, it's not just marijuana. It's everything, right? It's a whole way of living. And again, it may initially help you to relax relax, get rid of some anxiety. But as you said, it ends up really turning the tables on you. I am curious about suicide. I mean, we're coming up to Suicide Prevention Month in September, and I'm wondering about marijuana and the risks of being suicidal, or is there any connection to that?
There's definitely a connection. Marijuana causes depression. It's not, and not just immediately, but for years down the road. For instance, young people who smoke marijuana are 37% more likely to have depression by the age of 30. And the odds of depression are two times more if you're addicted to marijuana, if you have cannabis use disorder. And the odds of a young person thinking about suicide are 50% higher in marijuana smokers, but the odds of a suicide attempt, depending on the study you look at, are somewhere between 3.5 to 7 times higher in marijuana smokers versus those who don't. So people who smoke marijuana not only think about suicide more, but they act on that much more. There's a lot more suicide attempts with marijuana. Unfortunately, the most common drug found in toxicology screens of all ages, but especially young people that have committed suicide, is marijuana. And it affects our veterans, too. If, veterans use it a lot of times for anxiety and PTSD.
Right.
But those who use it are somewhere between 1.7 to 2.3 times more likely to attempt a suicide versus those veterans who don't use marijuana that also have PTSD.
Do you think there's a hidden social and economic cost of marijuana?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if you look at the tax revenue that's brought in, there was a study in Colorado that showed that for every tax dollar that's brought in, there's $4.50 spent to mitigate the negative effects. And we might think, well, Colorado's budget, you know, there's a lot of marijuana money coming in. Well, really, it's only 0.85% of Colorado's budget is marijuana revenue. And you can go down the list. I mean, you can talk about violence, organized crime, auto accidents, which we already talked about a little bit.
But right.
All of those go up significantly in marijuana users. And we, you know, so many of us think that there's less violence, that people are more mellow. But when you really look at the studies, there's a lot more violence with marijuana and more crime.
We have about 5 minutes left, Quinn? Yeah. We haven't really talked about your book. Well, first of all, I assume you can get it anywhere. Oh, 3 minutes left. Oh, okay. Oh, I've got to put you in a box. We have 3 minutes left. Sorry about that. So I assume you can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and you know, any of the places where you can get books.
You can get Weeding Out the Myths About Marijuana anywhere books are sold. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, really anywhere. And it's actually two different books and then two study guides. There's a strictly secular version. Then there's a version that has a biblical / spiritual perspective added to it as well. That's the expanded edition. And then both of those have companion study guides.
Well, I was going to ask you, thank you for that. That's fantastic. I was going to ask you what you would like our listeners to ultimately take away from the interview, but I think that it's pretty obvious that it's not something that you're going to want in your body and that the risks obviously greatly outweigh any perceived benefit and obviously that the effects are long-lasting. Is there anything that you want to add to that before we say goodnight?
No, I think you summed that up very nicely. It's not something that you want in your body, and that's a term that I use a lot. You just don't want to have it in your body. There's so many reasons not to. I hope you'll get the book and go to my website as well. The website, drwiggins.com, has a lot of free resources there as well.
You're very passionate about helping people to stop smoking, so I thank you for that, and thank you for joining us on the show tonight. It's really been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Francesca.
All right, we've got to wrap things up and say goodnight. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you missed the show, you can hop on over to my iTunes page or Spotify and listen there. And we will see you next week, same time, same place. Make it a great week.
chorando. Agora tá chorando pelo que perdeu.
Malandro quer levar, malandro quer ficar. Ele não quer ir embora, mas ele manda.